Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Last month, regathered Israel was officially 73 years old, and today they reached another prophetic milestone in their march to the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel has now formed a new governing coalition that, for the first time ever, includes Muslims under the leadership of Mansour Abbas and the United Arab List. Why is this so historic? Because the Jewish prophets tell us that the coming Antichrist is part Jewish and part Muslim. Today, Israel has created a government that is part Jewish and part Muslim. Welcome to the future. Isaiah 10 verses 5 and 6 say, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Daniel 11:37 says, Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at the swift and far-reaching change that is taking place in the nation of Israel tonight. Changes that tie in directly with the time of Jacob's trouble and the covenant that they will confirm with Antichrist. Never in 73 years has Israel formed a hybrid Jewish-Muslim government. Yet here in 2021, it is the only way forward. God has blocked all the other exits. Why? Because the time of Jacob's trouble, where a Muslim, Jewish, hybrid beast, whom the Bible calls the Assyrian, is about to start. That means that Flight 777 on Titus 2:13 Airlines, what we affectionately call the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, it could possibly be this spring, and we have 19 more days of spring left to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for everything that you give us. We thank you for the food on the table. We thank you for the clothes on our back. We thank you for the roof over our head, Lord. And tonight we come together as a church family across America and around the world, Lord. Hundreds of people in the chat room and hundreds more listening. And we are just so grateful, and we're needy tonight, Lord. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit. We need Jesus Christ, and we need your preserved word as found within the pages of your King James Bible. And Lord, we come before you, and we just thank you, Father God, and we praise you, and we commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody and good evening. Tonight we're going to have a little bit of a different type of a Bible study tonight. It's going to be part news, and it's going to be part Bible study. It's going to be part preaching. We have so much to talk about. Almost every single one of you is aware by now of the incredible changes that's happening right now in the nation of Israel. And it looks like, unless something changes, and you know, Israel is one of those places where it changes literally on a dime. So what we're talking about tonight could be all something different by the time we wake up tomorrow morning. But if the present trends and the present patterns continue, it looks like Benjamin Netanyahu is no longer going to be part of the government of the nation of Israel. They have successfully formed a coalition against him. And his enemies have been working for a very, very long time. And we brought you this story just a couple hours earlier today. Benjamin Netanyahu is out as Israel forms first ever government coalition deal with the Muslim Party, setting the stage for the arrival of Antichrist. A new governing coalition with the Arab Union list leader Mansour Abbas has been formed in Israel and is prepared to replace Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Opposition leader Yair Lapid officially informed President Reuven Rivlin and Knesset Speaker Yariv Levin late Wednesday night. And so this is what happened just hours ago in the nation of Israel. And we see that for the first time ever, Israel is forced to form a coalition government with the Muslims. People have said for decades that this was coming, and they have held it off, and they've held it off, and they held it off. But here we are in the crazy year of 2021 with all this other end time stuff going on. And what do we see? Israel is backed into a corner, and the only way that they can form a new government is they have to join forces with a man by the name of Mansour Abbas, and he is a member of the Ra'am Party, or the Ram Party. And it says here, Yamina leader Naftali Bennett, Lapid, and Ram, the United Arab List chairman, Mansour Abbas, signed an agreement at a meeting on Wednesday night at the Ramat Gan's Car, I can't even pronounce that, hotel, in the first coalition deal ever signed by an Arab party. Abbas had last-minute demands on Wednesday following multiple conversations with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. After Netanyahu offered to cancel a law enforcing fines on illegal Arab building, Abbas demanded the same from the unity government that's being formed. And then the article goes on to say that this is the first time in the nation of Israel that they are forming a coalition government with the Muslims. And tonight we're going to be talking about why that points directly to the time of Jacob's trouble, to the Great Tribulation, and of course to Antichrist. And Antichrist is a Muslim-Jewish hybrid. And I read you those verses earlier. Isaiah says that he is the Assyrian. That makes him Muslim. And Daniel says that he will not honor the God of his fathers, and that makes him Jewish. So we understand that the way that all of this comes together, the way that the Abraham Accords and the false peace covenant that Antichrist is going to confirm, all these things come together because the Muslims and the Jews get together and they form a false peace. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 3. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So Israel is forming and creating a Muslim-Jewish hybrid government, because a Muslim-Jewish hybrid Antichrist is getting ready to step out of the shadows and to step onto the world stage. And that's how close we are to everything. So it is sad to see what is happening to Israel. Absolutely. Israel is about to be divided, and the two-state solution is about to be put into effect, and all the pieces of the puzzle are right there. And God has spent the last couple of years assembling all those pieces, and these pieces would not be possible without Donald Trump, Jared Kushner, and the Abraham Accords. this would not be possible without a Joe Biden presidency who is pushing for a two-state solution. So all of these things are coming together because this is how God enacts his will on the nation of Israel in the end times. So I don't know about you, but I'm sad for Israel, but I rejoice in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It is so exciting watching it all come together exactly the way that the Bible said it would come together, exactly the way that for years and years and years, as I study the scripture, the things that are happening now is what I have always expected to see. And this is what we're seeing right here, right now. So tonight, we're going to be looking at the new Muslim-Jewish government that Israel is forming right now and how that points directly to the Assyrian, the time of Jacob's trouble, and the Great Tribulation. Glad you're here with us tonight.
Ben-Gurion addresses the National Council to proclaim the rebirth of the nation of Israel. By virtue of the national and historical right of the Jewish people and of the resolution of the General Assembly of the United Nations, we hereby proclaim the establishment of the Jewish state in Palestine to be called Israel.
These are very exciting times that we find ourselves in. And for the last 13 or 14 months, we have seen an incredible explosion of end times events going back to March of 2020 with the global lockdowns and the global COVID outbreak and then the global COVID vaccine and all the people dying from the vaccine and having serious injury and adverse reactions and all these different things that have been going on. We saw the stunning fall of Bill Gates as the mainstream media that he had bought and paid for literally turned on him and outed him and threw him under the bus. And today we see the same thing happening to Anthony Fauci. And he is just as good as out. And it was revealed today the incredible amount of double speak and double talking and flip-flopping that Anthony Fauci has done. It's really funny. The vast majority of things that the Trump administration said we are starting to see was the truth. Trump told the truth about Fauci, and now today we find out that Fauci is a horrendous flip-flopper, and he's a liar, and he's a duplicitous deceiver. Donald Trump also said that we should look into the Wuhan lab leak theory, and that was dismissed as right-wing conspiracy, and yet here we are in June of 2021, and what is everybody talking about? They're talking about the Wuhan lab leak theory, and it's starting to look like it's a lot more than a theory. And so we are watching an incredible amount of political and prophetical events all starting to fire at the same time and all starting to come together. But none is more important than watching what happens to the nation of Israel. Israel and the Jewish people are the timepiece in Bible prophecy, and you always have to look to Israel to see where God is working. And today, we see a first ever Muslim Jewish coalition government that is about to be formed. And should that go through? Now, is it possible that something unforeseen could happen and it could delay this government from forming? Absolutely. On some levels, I expect that to happen because Israel is a place where anything can happen at any time. But if the present trends continue and nothing changes, it looks like Israel will indeed form a Muslim-Jewish coalition government. And that is right in the middle of Bible prophecy. Now, I had said on the program last week that springtime ended on June 1st, and it did not. I was corrected on that issue. And so the reason why I was thinking that springtime ended on June 1st, because being here in America and being an American, I always equate the start of summer with Memorial Day weekend. Growing up in New Jersey and heading down to the shore every Memorial Day weekend, in my mind, that's when summertime begins. But on the calendar, summertime does not begin until June 21st. That means that we have another 19 days of springtime and another 19 days in which Song of Solomon chapter 2 verses 8 through 12 could possibly come to pass. Song of Solomon chapter 2 starting in verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. The voice of my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That is Song of Solomon chapter 2, 8 through 14, and it is talking about a springtime pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that to me is a very exciting proposition. Now, is it possible that the rapture could happen not in the springtime? Yes, that's possible. We don't know exactly when the rapture is going to take place, but having that tantalizing series of verses from Song of Solomon chapter 2, 8 through 14, which seems to heavily point to and indicate that the rapture of the church will be sometime in the springtime. So every springtime we get excited around here, and for good reason. And I just want to let you know that we have another 19 days of springtime, another 19 days in which we could hear those three magic words, come up hither, and to be pulled up and away into the clouds, like Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Wouldn't that be great?
And do it now, because the rapture will come and Christ will return. It says in the Bible that he will come as a thief in the night.
We're going to be getting started with our Bible study in just 1 or 2 minutes. Very glad that you're all here tonight.
When man sinned, Son had compassion. He said, Father, it's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies.
But
יברכך אדוני וישמרך, יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה, יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and ask for your blessing on tonight's Bible study. Lord, Shea Castor says he just got home from the eye doctor and he needs prayer. He has to go into the hospital for emergency retina detachment surgery with no insurance. So we lift up Shea Castor tonight. Angel says, praise report. My mother, 88 years old, left the hospital today. Lots of antibiotics and at home recovering from sepsis. Thank you for your prayers. And amen, Angel. Amen. Anne says, requesting prayer. I would love to do extraordinary work for the glory of God. I've been a backslider for too long, and I want to honor and adore him in a great way for the rest of my days of my life. Thank you. Amen. And Anne is asking for prayer, and she doesn't want to be a backslider. And what a great prayer that is. She wants to get back on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we absolutely lift Anne up before the Lord tonight and ask for God to grant her that request. And we pray for Harmon's son, Michael, who is he was healed of one type of cancer, and now he's battling a second type of cancer. And so we pray for Harmon, and we pray for his son, Michael, and we pray that God would do a mighty work over there and give Michael a healing, give Shea Castor a healing, give Anne power, Lord, to break out of backsliding and get on fire for you. And we pray for Lotan. We haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks, and many of us are concerned. We pray for Lotan, who was battling the coronavirus, and we just pray, Lord, that you keep him healthy and get him through it. And please put us back in touch with our brother soon. And we just pray that you would give Lotan a full and complete recovery. And Father God, we just thank you and we praise you for dear saints like Lulu and for Marie Comfort and for so many of the dear white-haired saints that make this ministry so strong and so powerful with their prayers. And so many prayers are sent up from this church family, from Now the End Begins, and we are a praying group of people, and I have seen so many prayers, all of our prayers, be answered over the years in a powerful, powerful way. And so we thank you, God. We just thank you that we can come together as a church family. We can come together as the remnant body of Christ. And God, we thank you for Now the End Begins. We also lift up Jeanette's mother and father to you. And they're going through some health issues right now. And we pray for Jeanette's mother and father. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for your goodness and for your mercy. And we commit this time to you, Father, as we open up your scripture of truth and show us the truth from your word tonight, Lord, as it pertains to Israel and the end times. And we ask all these things, God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Very, very glad that you're here. I had mentioned on a previous show, I think, what is today, Wednesday? Maybe it was on the Monday program or the Sunday program. I can't remember which. But talking about our billboard and Bible program. And many of you want to get involved with that, and that's fantastic. If you would like to support our billboard program, and if you would like to support our free Bible program, all you have to do is just send your donations in. Go to nowtheendbegins.com, and you can see the donation button on every single page. And all the donations that we get for the next couple of weeks, we're going to put them all towards the gospel billboard witnessing program and the free Bible and gospel track program, because we really, really want to see that those two things expand. And we're getting ready to put up billboard number 4 next week. That's 4 billboards, and those billboards are fairly expensive. The Bibles that we send out, that they are, those Bibles cost $24.95 a piece. And we send out cases and cases of free Bibles every single month because people like you donate and you support and you pray. So if you would like to get involved with that, if you would like to support the billboard program or the free Bible and gospel track program, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on the donate button. And we very, very much appreciate you getting involved with that. The more you give, the more we can do. So thank you very much. And with that, let's get started with tonight's program. Turn to, let's see, where shall we start tonight? There's so many places for us to talk about. Turn to Daniel chapter 11 in your King James Bibles. And we're going to give Jeanette a workout tonight with posting scripture, because we're going to be all over the place, literally. So Turn to Daniel chapter 11, and because there's multiple aspects. We're going to be looking at Antichrist tonight, and specifically, we're going to be looking at the dual hybrid nature of the Antichrist. And the Bible says that whoever the Antichrist is going to be, that he is part Jewish and he is part Muslim. So in Daniel chapter 11, let's look at a couple verses talking about the Jewish part. Daniel chapter 11, and let's see, where will we start here? Daniel chapter 11, and let's read verses 20 through 24. Daniel chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, this is Revelation 12, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter peaceably. Now watch this in verse 24. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. He shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. Talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices. Isn't that funny? That's what we call our mobile phones and iPads. We call them devices, don't we? And he shall forecast his devices against his strongholds even for a time. Then look down, we're still in Daniel chapter 11, and look down starting in verse 36. Daniel 11, 36 through 39. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper. This is Isaiah chapter 14. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, Jewish, nor the desire of women, nor desire any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and with pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. Now watch this. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Look at that. Daniel 11:39 says that Antichrist shall divide the land for gain. You know where we're going next. Turn to Joel chapter 3. Turn to Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. Now watch this. Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Isn't that interesting? Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Daniel says that they're going to divide the land for gain. Do you see what the Bible's talking about now? Do you see how the Bible fully anticipates the two-state solution. Daniel says that the Antichrist is going to divide the land for gain. Joel says, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Do you know what you have to have in order to have a two-state solution? You have to have a Jewish-Muslim government. If you are going to have a two-state solution where you're going to divide Israel down the middle and give a whole chunk of it to the Muslims, that can only be accomplished with Benjamin Netanyahu out of office, and it can only be accomplished if you have the ruling government of the nation of Israel, part Muslim and part Jewish. Because Antichrist is part Muslim and part Jewish. And everything is pushing us towards a two-state solution, which Joel and Daniel clearly anticipate. So, do you see why I say that even though I am sad to see this happen for Israel, that I am excited to watch this happen because it is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy? And right here in the pages of Scripture, in prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, we see the Bible talking about the dividing of the land of Israel after they have been regathered. They were regathered on May 14th, 1948. They have been in their land for 73 years. Now, here's another little interesting tidbit. In the Bible, a generation can be 33 years, a generation can be 80 years, and a generation can be 100 years. Now, if we're at year number 73 for the regathering of Israel, and at the 73rd year of being regathered, they make a covenant with the Muslims and create a Jewish-Muslim Israel, and then we have the rapture, that leaves 7 years for the time of Jacob's trouble to get to an 80-year generation. Isn't that an amazing thing? Well, that's exactly where we are right now. These are things that is happening in the nation of Israel right now. Let me read this article to you from Reuters. Israel's opposition declares a new government, said to unseat Netanyahu. Israel's opposition leader moved closer to unseating Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he officially told the country's president that he has reached agreements with political allies to form a new government. About 35 minutes before a Wednesday midnight deadline, the centrist Yair Lapid told President Reuven Rivlin in an email, "I am honored to inform you that I have succeeded in forming a government." The coalition government would comprise a patchwork of small and medium parties from across the political spectrum, including, for the first time in Israel's history, a party that represents Israel's 21% Arab minority, called the United Arab List. And then the article goes on to say that the Knesset has 12 days to vote on this. And Netanyahu is almost certainly going to pull out some tricks that he has up his sleeve. I cannot imagine that Netanyahu is just simply going to lay down and let these things happen. And he may be able to stall it for a small amount of time. But what we see happening is, as the book of Daniel says, we are seeing the handwriting on the wall. And this idea of a Muslim-Jewish coalition government is absolutely the next government that Israel is going to have. Maybe Netanyahu can buy himself a couple of more weeks or a couple of more months. But when he's done with his wrangling, he's going to find himself exactly at the same place where he started, because this is the path that you have to take for the fulfillment of Bible prophecies like Daniel chapter 11, verse 39, and Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is the only way that you get to the point where you're able to divide the land for gain. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. And let's take a look at the Muslim nature of Antichrist. I gave you a couple of verses from Daniel that shows you the Jewish nature of Antichrist. Now let me give you some verses that show you the Muslim nature of Antichrist. Antichrist is a hybrid. He has Jewish and Muslim blood. And that's why you see Israel forming a Jewish and Muslim government. And that's why you're going to see the two-state solution. And I believe that we're going to see that happen before the rapture. I think that's going to happen very, very quickly. Because Netanyahu was the main person who was working against a two-state solution. Benjamin Netanyahu absolutely is against, 100% against a two-state solution. But the people that he is being replaced by, and again, it may take a couple of days, it may take a couple of weeks, it may take a couple of months, but he will be replaced. And the people that are going to replace him are 100% in favor of a two-state solution. So here we see in Isaiah chapter 10, and I want to show you what the Bible calls the Muslim nature of Antichrist. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So the Bible calls Antichrist the Assyrian, with a capital A. Now, if you do a little bit of a word search, and I like to use Blue Letter Bible, and I just put the word Assyrian with a capital A into my Blue Letter Bible word search, and 13 times, isn't that interesting, the word Assyrian with a capital A appears 13 times in your King James Bible. And every single time, it is a reference to Antichrist. Now, it may be a double reference in some of the verses. It is talking about an earthly king. But it is an earthly king who is a type of Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar was a type of Antichrist. And all through the Bible, we see kings that are a type of Antichrist. But 13 times, and I'm not going to read all the verses to you, but 13 times in your King James Bible, the word Assyrian appears with a capital A. Isaiah 10:24 says this, Isaiah 10:24, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. And then the next verse, Isaiah 14:25, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. For then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from their shoulders. Let's see a couple more here. Micah 5, 5 and 6. Micah 5, 5 and 6. And this man shall be our peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in our palaces, then we shall raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. That's Micah 5:5-6. So 13 times, watch out for that number 13. In your King James Bible, the number 13 is the number of rebellion. And of course, the great rebellion, turn to Isaiah chapter 14, the great rebellion of Lucifer, Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12, Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 13. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So here we see the rebellion of Lucifer. 13 is the biblical number for rebellion. And 13 times the word Assyrian with a capital A appears in your King James Bible. So we can see very, very clearly that there is a Jewish nature to Antichrist and there is a Muslim nature to Antichrist. The Jews are forming a Jewish-Muslim government in Israel as we speak. These are the events that are happening right here and right now. You know, last year, we told you a number of times that the method in which the end times was going to play out was going to change. We told you last year that the day would come when there would be no more lockdown. We told you last year that the day would come when the coronavirus wouldn't be doing all the damage that it was doing last year. And we always said that the coronavirus was a real virus. I never said that the coronavirus was not real. But I think as we're finding out now, the coronavirus was released from a laboratory in Wuhan. And there is a French connection with Macron, and I'm working on that. I haven't done the article yet, but I'm doing the research right now. There is a connection between the nation of France, Emmanuel Macron, and Wuhan, China. And we're going to be coming out with that story in the next day or two. And that's really going to blow your mind what's going on there. And for those of you who have been around here for a while, you know, when we talk about Emmanuel Macron, we call him the Assyrian. Because when we did the research, it sure looks like Emmanuel Macron has a whole lot of similarities with the biblical Antichrist, including he has an Assyrian nature in his background and he has a Jewish nature in his background. Now, is that going to be enough to get the job done? I don't know. But I'm not planning on being here and sticking around to find out. I'm planning on leaving any day now on Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. I am not waiting for Antichrist. I'm not looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. But while I wait, I'm keeping my eye on absolutely everything. And Emmanuel Macron is somebody that we've been watching for quite a while. Is he the biblical Antichrist? That remains to be seen. Cher is asking, is he Muslim as well? He has Assyrian in his background, and he has Jewish, a Jewish background as well. And so there is nothing that Macron has done that would disqualify himself. So for the time being, he is in the number one spot. But suffice to say, everything is moving in precisely the direction that we told you that it would last year. A lot of people are feeling relief right now. They don't have to wear masks in their state. And a lot of people, the businesses aren't under lockdown. And people are feeling freedom. But it's a false sense of freedom. And I told you the lockdowns would end. The virus would end. The mask wearing would end. But what is not going to end is the rising spirit of Antichrist, which I believe rose at the beginning of last year. And I believe, you know, the Bible says that that there have been many Antichrists in the world. And even back in Paul's day and in John's day, the spirit of Antichrist was in evidence. But in our day, I believe that this spirit of Antichrist rose last year, and that is never going to go back to the way it was. And you are going to see wickedness increase. One of the crazy things that's happening right now is as lockdowns are ending in state after state, violent crime and murders are off the charts. In New York City, murder is up 39%. And in every major city across America, the murder rate is up 20%, 30%, 35%, 39%. And wickedness is absolutely rising to a very, very high degree. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about that in great detail. Glad you're with us here tonight.
Glory, I say.
And we're back for hour two of our Bible study tonight on Israel preparing for Antichrist. Israel is forming their first Jewish-Muslim hybrid government that will prepare them to receive the Jewish-Muslim hybrid Antichrist that the Bible talks about. And in the first hour, we set the table, we laid the groundwork. And we looked at the dual nature of Antichrist, and we looked at one of the main things that the Antichrist is going to do. Turn to Daniel 9:27. Turn to Daniel 9:27. The Antichrist is lusting after Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Antichrist wants to get his dirty little paws on Jerusalem, because the Bible says that Jerusalem is the city of the great king, and Jerusalem is the place where God has placed his name. And Jerusalem, the Bible says over and over and over, Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. And I read to you the verses in the first hour from Isaiah chapter 14 that talks about how Lucifer, when he rebelled against God, he promised that he was going to take everything that God has. Psalm 116:19 says, "In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." Psalm 122 verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that prosper, they shall prosper that love thee." Psalm 125:2, "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever." Psalm 128:5, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." Psalm 135:21, "Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 147:2, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." And all through the Old Testament, it talks about Jerusalem as a place that is very special and very important to God. Now, turn to Luke chapter 21. I know that I told you to go to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll get there in just a minute. But turn to Luke chapter 21 and look in verses 20-21. Actually, verses 20-22. Luke 21:20-22. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Do you see what the Bible is saying about the importance of Jerusalem? Now, turn to Daniel 9:27. Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye, and Antichrist is determined to get his hands on Jerusalem. And so what is he going to do? Is he's going to confirm a covenant with the Jewish people. Look at Daniel 9:27. Daniel 9:27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week," this is the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, "and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So what is Daniel 9:27 saying? Daniel 9:27 is telling you that in the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a 7-year time period, the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble is a time of peace and safety, but it's fake and it's phony. And the second 3.5-year time of Jacob's trouble, The last 3.5 years is what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. And here in Daniel 9:27, when Antichrist comes on the scene, he is going to confirm a covenant with the Jewish people. He does not create a covenant with the Jewish people. Daniel 9:27 shows you that Antichrist is going to confirm a covenant with the Jewish people. That covenant is the Abraham Accords. The very same Abraham Accords that Jared Kushner and Donald Trump revealed to the world last August. The covenant that Antichrist is going to confirm with the Jewish people is the Abraham Accords covenant. And you can see with how Israel today announced that they are getting ready to form a Muslim-Jewish hybrid government. Antichrist is a Muslim-Jewish hybrid beast. The Abraham Accords are a Muslim-Jewish peace covenant. Do you see how all this works together? Do you see that no matter where you put your attention, whether it's economics, whether it's politics, whether it's the Bible, no matter where you look, you see the Jews forming a covenant with the Muslims, and that is going to result in the Daniel 9:27 confirming of the covenant that Antichrist makes with the Jewish people. But those things are already in the works, and those things were started last year. So when we look at the end times, don't get hyper-focused on any one thing. Viruses will come and go. Vaccine passports will come and go. Lockdowns will come and go. Economic sanctions will come and go. Politics will come and go. But the the pattern that we're in is a pattern that was initiated in the beginning of 2020, and the events that were put in place cannot possibly be reversed. They can't be stopped. Sheryl just said, the dots get connected. And that's exactly what we see happening right now. All the dots are connecting themselves. That is what's happening. The dots on every possible level, economic, financial, political, prophetical, and everywhere that you look in the Middle East, what do you see? You see the Jews forming a covenant with the Muslims, right down to their very government that has never had Muslims ruling as part of the governmental setup. But they're about to have that right now. So everywhere that you look, what you're seeing is you are seeing the Abraham Accords, and you're seeing covenants on multiple levels being made between the Jews and the Muslims. And this is why we got so excited about the Abraham Accords last year. Because when you look at the Bible, Psalm 83, verses 2 through 8, turn to Psalm 83. Psalm 83, verses 2 through 8. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, and Gabal, and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Aser also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. Selah. That's Psalm 83, verses 2 through 8. And for years, when I read those verses, I always imagined a war like the Six-Day War. But could it be possible? Could it be possible that Psalm 83 is talking about the Abraham Accords? Could that be a possibility? I think it absolutely could be a possibility. And instead of a war, what about a false peace treaty? Wouldn't that be interesting? How many years have we thought that Psalm 83 was talking about the Muslims surrounding and attacking the nation of Israel from a military perspective? But could it be possible that Psalm 83 is talking about the Abraham Accords, where they make a peace covenant, a fake and phony peace covenant with Israel to lure them into a trap? Now, we know that Israel is absolutely going to be lured into a trap. There is no question about that. And we read about that all through the Bible. Turn to the book of Zechariah. Turn to the book of Zechariah. And go to chapter 12 and look at verses 1 through 3. Zechariah 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall begin the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Why is there no peace between the Jews and the Palestinians? Why is there no peace between the Jews and the Palestinians? Because they both want the same land. The Jews and the Palestinians both want the same land. It is not about forming a separate state. The Palestinians are not interested in a separate state. The way that we know that is the Palestinians over the last 50 years have been offered to have their own state 5 separate times. And 5 separate times the Palestinians have turned it down because they are not concerned with having their own state. What they are concerned with is taking control of Jerusalem. Why? Because Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling," not Israel. Zechariah is not saying, "I am going to make regathered Israel a cup of trembling." Zechariah 12, 2 says, "I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah," that's the northern kingdom, "and Jerusalem," that's the southern kingdom. Can you see how Jerusalem is the focus? Well, back in 2019, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said that the Palestinians are historically at home in Israel because they are the descendants of the biblical Canaanites. And we've talked about this a couple of times in the past few weeks. He said, "We are the Canaanites. We will remain in our homeland, and the outsiders of this land have no right in this country. The land is for its inhabitants. The land is for the Canaanites who were here 5,000 years ago, and we are the Canaanites." Look at Zechariah 14, 20 and 21. Zechariah 14, 20 and 21. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day, the day of the Lord, there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 14, verses 20 and 21. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Doesn't matter how you rearrange the pieces. Doesn't matter if you call yourselves Muslims, Arabs, Palestinians. You call yourself the Canaanites. The Bible has a verse for it. And there is no way on God's green earth that you are going to get around Bible prophecy that the Muslims are going to want Jerusalem and divide the land of Israel. Phyllis is asking, what does that mean, pots of holiness? There's no pots of holiness. It says, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And in every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. Zechariah is simply saying that this is the time period where King Jesus is going to be ruling and reigning on the throne of his father David. And the entire place is going to be clean. The temple is going to be rebuilt. And Jesus is going to rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years. And everything is going to be holy, even down to the bells on the horses and the pots in the temple. Everywhere that you look, it's going to be holy, holy, holy unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Charlton is asking, what's the curse that gets issued to Canaan? Canaan is going to be kicked out because the Canaanites are the descendants of Ham. And Ham was cursed. Ham was cursed back in the book of Genesis. Let's see if we can find those verses in the book of Genesis. Let's see here. Let me look this up. Yes, Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verses 24 through 29. Genesis 9, 24 through 29. Charlton is asking the question, what about the curse of Canaan? Well, let's start in verse 20. Genesis 9, and we're going to read 20 through 29. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So Ham did something to Noah when Noah was drunk. And the Bible doesn't say exactly what it was, but it had to do with Noah being naked. and Ham being where he didn't belong, and, well, you can fill in the blanks. Possibly what Ham did with his father. Whatever it was, in verse 24, when Noah sobered up and he knew what Ham had done to him, verse 24, he put a curse on Ham and all of his descendants. So whatever Ham did to Noah, it was pretty bad. And we can speculate as to what that might be. I don't know. He did something very, very bad. Tony is asking, why Jerusalem and not Israel? Why Jerusalem and not Israel? Look in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14. Tony has a question, and it's a good question. Tony wants to know why the Bible is so hyper-focused on Jerusalem even more than Israel. Well, because this goes all the way back to the days of Genesis chapter 14 with Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. Salem was the original name of Jerusalem. Melchizedek was either a type of Jesus Christ or he was an appearance of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Genesis 14:18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the high priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hands, and he gave him tithes of all.'" So here in Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20, we see Melchizedek, who possibly is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, and he is the king of a place called Salem. Now, we know when we continue to read our Bible, Salem and Jerusalem are the same place. And so here we see Abram giving tithes to the king of Salem, who is the priest of the Most High God. So right from the very beginning, before the nation of Israel ever existed, there was a place called Salem, Jerusalem, the city of peace. And Melchizedek was the king of Salem, which would become Jerusalem. And this is why the Bible, Israel, is the centerpiece of God's prophetical time clock. But in the midst of Israel, there is something that is so fought over, that is so powerful, that for 6,000 years, people have been fighting over this tiny, tiny, tiny little piece of land called Jerusalem. But that is where King Jesus is going to return to. And Satan has spent the last 6,000 years trying to prevent Jesus from being born. He did that with King Herod, and he raised up King Herod to issue a decree that all babies 2 years old and younger, all male babies, were to be killed. Now, why would the devil put that into the heart of King Herod? Because Satan was trying to stop the first advent of Jesus Christ. He was not successful. So when Jesus Christ was born and he came onto the scene, the next thing that Satan tried to stop was he tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And that was not successful. Then he tried to stop the creation of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so now what is Satan trying to do? He is trying to prevent the second coming. Why? Because Jerusalem is the city of the great king, going all the way back to Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. And because Jerusalem is the city of the great king, Jerusalem is the city of God Almighty, this is what Satan wants to control. And so, what is the battle of Armageddon going to be fought over? It's going to be fought over the dividing of the land of Israel in general, and it's going to be fought over Jerusalem in particular. And with that, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back. We still have another solid 30 minutes to go. Stay with us.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Time won't matter anymore. You land I'm longing for you, and someday.
we're back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. We are looking at the Jewish-Muslim hybrid government that's being formed in the nation of Israel and how it points directly to the time of Jacob's trouble, where the Jews are going to make a peace covenant with the Muslims that's going to be confirmed by Antichrist. And we know, of course, that that is the Abraham Accords. If you haven't visited the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore here in St. Augustine, Florida, we invite you to come and check it out. And we opened it 2 weeks ago, and many of you have come to check it out. For those of you who can't make the physical trip to visit us, all you have to do is go to BibleBeliever.com, and you'll be right inside our online bookstore. We add new items and products almost every single day, and you can get King James Bibles, Ruckman Reference Bibles, Bibles Commentaries. You can get books by Clarence Larkin and Steve Quayle, and we are growing by leaps and bounds. So if you'd like to visit the NTEB Bible Believers Bookstore, you can come to 701 Market Street in St. Augustine, Florida, or you can go to BibleBeliever.com and check out our online store. Many of you, hundreds and hundreds of you, are visiting us online, and we very, very much do appreciate that. All right, getting back to tonight's Bible study. We are looking at the hybrid nature of Antichrist. He's part Jewish, he's part Muslim. And the government that Israel is forming right now is a hybrid government that is part Jewish and it is part Muslim. The Abraham Peace Accords are part Jewish and they are part Muslim. And these are the conditions that have to be in place in order for the two-state solution to be activated. There's no other way around it. And for the last 73 years... the Jewish people have been, the government in regathered Israel has been staunchly a Jewish government. And here we find ourselves in the crazy year of 2021. And for the first time in 73 years, we are going to have a hybrid coalition government. Here's a story. Let me just pull this up for you. Arab Islamist Party set to join Israeli government under opposition deal. The Islamist Ram Party is set to join a new Israeli government under a deal reached by Israel's opposition parties to replace Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Wednesday evening, potentially confounding anti-Israel critics. Mansour Abbas led his party to win four seats in Israel's 120-member Knesset in elections earlier this year, despite low overall turnout among Arab voters. Roughly 20% of Israel's population is Arab, the majority of which is Muslim. And here's something interesting. The Islamist Ram Party is linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. According to the Times of Israel, Mansour Abbas secured $16.3 billion in funding for new development programs in Israel's Arab community in exchange for supporting the opposition's efforts to oust Netanyahu. The Israeli government will also recognize three previously unrecognized Bedouin Arab villages in the Negev Desert and will consider lifting restrictions on some illegal constructions in Arab villages. Cooperation between Ram and the other predominantly Jewish parties was seen as unlikely just 1 month ago when Israel and Hamas were at war with each other. The idea of the Ram Party working together with the Jews seemed highly unlikely. And yet we have only had a ceasefire for about 10 days. And what do we see? we see that the Ram Party is not only forming a coalition government with the Jews, that they are rapidly becoming the controlling power. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Think about regathered Israel that is being controlled by Muslims. Can you imagine that God would allow something like that to take place? Regathered Israel under the control of Muslims? That's exactly where everything is headed. And this is why, when we look at Bible prophecy, turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. When we look at Bible prophecy, at some point, Israel has to make a very sharp, hard left turn. That's the only way that they get to where the Old Testament prophets say that they're going to wind up. Look in Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And look at verses 11 through 13. Isaiah, no, 10 through 13. Isaiah 28, 10 through 13. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." This is the state of Israel right now. They are being snared, they are falling backwards, they are being broken, and they are going to be taken. Look at the next verse, Isaiah 28, 14. "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge." Look at Joel 38, where God talks about the treasures of the hail that he has reserved unto the day of battle. Isaiah 28, 17, "And the hail shall sweep away," the same hail in the book of Revelation that is 100 pounds and it's on fire and dripping with blood. "And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of the lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place." And here we are, Isaiah 28, 18. "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." So what is Isaiah saying here in Isaiah 28? This is how Israel goes into the time of Jacob's trouble. This is how Israel goes into the time of Jacob's trouble. Line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little, they're going to be snared, they're going to be taken. Right now, well, they're sleeping right now in Israel, but up till midnight tonight in the nation of Israel, They worked feverishly to create a new coalition government that is going to have Muslims and Jews ruling Israel together. And this is how Israel is taken. This is how Israel is snared. And it is happening in real time right now. How amazing is that? How incredible that we can look at the events that were in all the headlines today. It's on the front page of the Drudge Report right now. We can look at the headlines in the newspaper, and because we believe the scriptures, we believe the Bible, we have God's preserved word, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to tell us what it all means. When we look at the headlines, what do we see? I see Isaiah 28. I see Isaiah 14. I see Zechariah 12. I see Isaiah 11:39. I see Joel chapter 2. I see Joel chapter 3. And all these things are coming together right now. And these things were brought partially by Donald Trump. These things are going to be brought partially by Joe Biden. But the thing that's going to put everything all together is going to be this Muslim-Jewish coalition government that Israel is creating right now. Sheryl says, water and oil mixed together. How about the miry clay and iron of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar? That's where we're headed towards right now. And so Israel is doing what they need to do. God has boxed them into a corner. And now the only way for Israel to go forward, the only way is for them to form a coalition government with the Muslims. Now, you put all of this together, the Abraham Accords, the coalition government, the climate of the Middle East, and all these things that are happening, the COVID virus and the lockdowns and the vaccination passports and all these different things, and what do you see? You see that Israel is literally moments away from the time of Jacob's trouble. And if they are that close, if Israel is so close to the time of Jacob's trouble, that they are right now forming a Jewish-Muslim coalition government, then what does that tell you about how close we must be to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? We still have another 19 days of springtime. There is plenty of time for God to pull us up and out of here in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And I am hoping that this spring is going to be the time. All right, and speaking of time, we only have about another 10 minutes left. So let's turn to, let's see, where will we go now? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. One of the things that you're going to see in a coalition government with the Jews and the Muslims, you're going to see the rebuilding of the temple. And the Abraham Accords is going to work to see that happen as well. And don't forget, we almost forgot, on the other side of the coin, what do we have? We have Pope Francis and Chrislam working feverishly to bring about the Abrahamic family house, which is being built in Abu Dhabi. And Pope Francis has been working overtime to bring his one world religion together. Don't forget, it was just back in February. It was just back in February and March that Pope Francis went to the birthplace of Abraham, and he claimed the nation of Iraq. And that is very, very important, because that's where Abraham is from. He's from Ur of the Chaldees. But that also is the headquarters for the ancient land of the Assyrian nation. Assyria was a conglomeration of regions. Assyria was not a particular country. Assyria was a conglomeration of regions that was called Assyria. But the main part of Assyria was where Iraq is right now. And that's where Pope Francis spent some very high profile time March 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th of this year. Doesn't that seem like it was a long time ago? But it's only 2.5 months ago that Pope Francis went to the birthplace of Abraham, the birthplace of Assyria, and he went there claiming that land for his own. And why? Because he is working to form the one world religion of Chrislam. And so we have to throw that into the mix as well when we're looking at the overall panoply of events that are happening. And at some point, we are going to see Emmanuel Macron stand up and talk about this new government in Israel. And we're going to see Pope Francis. He's going to step in. And now do you see why Pope Francis has spent so much time with the Muslims? Now do you see? Because people would say to me, why Islam? Why is the Catholic Church spending so much time with the Muslims? Because that's where all the action is. Now do you see why Pope Francis has been working so hard to create Chrislam, to merge counterfeit Christianity with Islam, and now we're seeing Muslims forming a coalition government with the Jews? Do you see how it's all coming together? It's all coming together perfectly. It's almost like Pope Francis knew what was going to happen. It was almost like somebody was whispering into the Pope's ear and telling him to reach out to the Muslims and form a coalition with the Muslims. So now you have Pope Francis and the Roman Catholic Church forming the one world religion of Chrislam with the Muslims. Now you have the Jews forming a coalition government in Israel with the Jews and the Muslims. And then you have the Abraham Accords forming peace covenants with the Jews and with the Muslims. Gloria just said, this is so surreal. It is kind of surreal, isn't it? And the most surreal part about it is that we are at the forefront of everything that's going on. Do you realize what a special thing that Now the End Begins really is? Because here we are on the front lines of the end times, watching all this Bible prophecy coming to pass, and we're able to stay connected globally as a church family to get something done for Jesus Christ while these things are taking place. Without Now the End Begins, we couldn't do this. And so every single day, I am grateful for my Now the End Begins family. I'm grateful for this platform that connects all of us together across America and around the world. And when we all come together as a church body, as a church family, and we put our resources together and we work as a team, we can get so much done for the Lord before he comes back to get us. And so that's just one of the things about Now the End Begins that really, really excites me. And I'm excited to come to work every single day. And when I see, like when we do programs like this, and a lot of times on these programs, and as I'm putting these things together for you, a lot of this is occurring to me at the same time as well. And it really wasn't until tonight, when we're laying all these things out on the table and asking the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, it really wasn't until just now that I'm seeing all these different parts coming together. Pope Francis and the Muslims, Israel and the Muslims, the Abraham Accords, the vaccines, the virus, the lockdowns, every single one of these things is pushing the world all to the same end result. And we're watching it happen. We're watching it unfold. We're watching these prophecies that have been in the Bible for 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. And they're coming true as we watch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you, God, for the ministry of Now the End Begins and how we all work together as a church family. I thank you, God, for this free Bible program. And Lord, I want to send out 1,000 more Bibles. And I pray that everybody will get excited and get behind this program and really, really, really support this free Bible program, because there's nothing more important than your word, your preserved word. And what an honor that it is to be able to be part of a team that can send out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of your preserved word every single month. And that's what we're doing as a church family. And Lord, I want to do more. I want to do a lot more. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just put on the hearts of everybody who's listening and everybody who's part of Now the End Begins to really, really leave it all out there on the field and to get something done for you. And I pray, Lord, that many, many more people will support the Billboard Witness Program. Many, many more people will support the Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program, so that we can truly be a witness online, a witness on the ground, and send out thousands more King James Bibles before the rapture takes place, Lord. And Father God, we just thank you. We praise you for the fellowship of this group and the fellowship of this family, and how we all work together for you, Lord. And be with us, Lord, in all the prayers that we pray tonight. Answer them according to your will. I also pray for Chelsea out on the West Coast, and I pray for Amanda in Pennsylvania. I pray for Jacqueline in New Mexico, and ask you, Lord, to they all have separate needs, and they all need a touch from you, and you know what the needs are, God, and I ask you to meet those needs and to fill those needs. I ask you to take I ask you to listen to the silent prayers of the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord. And Lori Ann has a unspoken prayer tonight that she needs to have answered. And Lord, for all of us that have unspoken prayer requests tonight, just meet with us and meet us at the point of our greatest need, God, and fulfill that need through your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So glad that you were part of this very special program tonight. Pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for the Jewish people. You can't stop them from going through the time of Jacob's trouble. Absolutely not. But you can pray that maybe some of them will get saved so that they can leave with us in the rapture. And the ones that don't get saved now pray that they'll get saved during the time of Jacob's trouble. Genesis 12, verse 3 says, And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we do want to bless the Jewish people and Israel and Jerusalem and to be a gospel light to them, to tell them the truth, but to tell them the truth in love, that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the promised Messiah. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Friday afternoon at noon Eastern time for another edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Story, all who love the Savior come.